Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, the Senate passes a despicable piece of legislation. Steve Bannon joins us to talk about ending the Federal Reserve. It's so funny. When Steve comes on the show, I don't know what he's going to talk about. He just comes roaring out like, we got to end the Fed. I'm like, whoa. Okay, here we go. Super entertaining. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Take out your podcast app. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or college chapter today. That is our educational movement. Barnstorming the country. It's growing like crazy. And join Ron DeSantis, Carrie Lake, and Blake Masters at an event this Sunday. That's right, this Sunday in Phoenix, Arizona. Go to tpaction.com to get your tickets. That is tpaction.com to join Carrie Lake, Blake Masters, and Ron DeSantis this Sunday. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. I want to start this program by going into what happened over this last weekend. According to NPR.org, the propagandist publication funded by our taxpayer dollars, Democrats passed a major climate, health, and tax bill. Here is what is in it. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer gives the thumbs up as he leaves the Senate chamber after passage of the Inflation Reduction Act. Senate Democrats, after weeks of negotiations to revive the core of their election year agenda, passed a spending bill which would attempt to tackle climate change, the high cost of prescription drugs, and lower the deficit by roughly $300 billion. So let's go through actually what's in the bill. This NPR does a pretty poor job of detailing it, but we'll dance around with this. But let's start with this idea of climate change. I have to say, whoever came up with the branding around climate change is brilliant. It's an unbelievably brilliant strategy. You can call it a Trojan horse. You could call it a wolf in sheep's clothing. What's so brilliant about climate change is that you don't have to define it, is that you have a unspecified fear that you could spend an unlimited amount of money on. Like AOC, $100 trillion. Why stop there? Why not $130 trillion? You see, climate change is so brilliantly duplicitous, and it's a scheme to make people afraid, but they'll never actually get to the end point. That's what's so brilliant about it. So no matter how much you spend, there might be somebody with a fossil fuel somewhere in Midland, Texas. We need to spend another $100 billion to go find them. You see, if they completely change the economy into a green economy, destroying our energy supremacy, by the way, which is one of the most civilizational, suicidal things that we could possibly do, they'll just then create a surveillance state to find out if someone still is using fossil fuels or natural gas. Even though natural gas we have in abundance and is the most environmentally friendly, lowest emission energy source that we have that is in the carbon fossil fuel category. There are two ways to control a civilization. Tyrants always use these two ways to control people. Fear and free stuff. Fear and free stuff. Those are the two ways tyrants control their citizens or their subjects, because they're trying to erode citizenship and they're trying to create a country of subjects. Climate change accomplishes both of them. By making you in a state of fear, the same way that they had the emergency use authorization and the emergency fear porn, that they never get there. They're always extending the goalposts and extending the cycle of fear. Fear and free stuff are the two ways that people are always controlled, that subjects are micromanaged by tyrants. In this bill, it starts with just $300 billion on climate change. No one actually talks about how it's going to fix climate change or what climate change actually is. You see, it's so non-defined. So you have asked these senators, and they're welcome on this program, to what portion is man's activity contributing to rising global temperatures? How about sunspots? Do they contribute to rising global temperatures? How did the environment or the atmosphere change prior to man's carbon emissions? How would the $300 billion that was passed over this last weekend play a role in that? More than $300 billion would be invested in energy and climate reform, the largest federal clean energy investment in U.S. history. It's not about energy. It's not about climate. It's not about climate change. It's about control. Climate change is the perfect issue to make themselves feel good, to brand a status totalitarian takeover of the American way of life. Environment. Climate experts experience an odd sensation after the Manchin budget deal. Optimism. Oh, experts. Or we're still trusting the experts and treating the experts as if they know what they're talking about. The expert class, as we call it on this program, has been wrong about everything. They've been imprecise about the most basic and fundamental truths. Deceitful in their self-dealing. The portion of the bill, NPR writes, takes on transportation and electricity generation. It includes $60 billion for growing renewable energy infrastructure and manufacturing, like solar panels and wind turbines. The bill would, according to Democrats, lower greenhouse gas emissions by 40% based on 2005 levels by the end of the decade. Quote, it puts us within a close enough distance that further executive action, state and local government efforts, and private sector leadership could plausibly get across the finish line by 2030. But it won't. They'll just have another goal. They'll extend it further. Climate change engages in the Hegelian dialectic of we're never there till we reach utopia. That's what's so brilliant about the messaging around climate change, is that they'll, as soon as you think you're there, they say, oh no, we need another $100 trillion. The bill also raises taxes. There's now a $6.5 billion tax on natural gas production. One of the most insane things someone could do is tax the asset that you have the most of, that is also the cleanest, that the rest of the world wishes they had. 16.4 cents per barrel tax on crude oil and imported petroleum products. It also raises taxes on corporations, otherwise known as small businesses. The bill includes a 15% minimum tax on large corporations, argues it will be passed on. ATR, Americans for Tax Reform, argues it will be passed on to consumers. Raises taxes on medium-sized businesses. It extends a limit on loss deductions for pass-through businesses, S corporations, and sole proprietorships for 2 years. There's an indirect tax on pensions through taxing stock buybacks. There's also a tax on pharmaceuticals unless they accept price caps. And of course, the kicker of it all, this bill, as we mentioned last week and tried to warn, adds $80 billion to the IRS's budget and 87,000 new staff members to the Internal Revenue Service. 87,000 new IRS agents. That makes the IRS larger than the FBI, Border Patrol, and the State Department combined. That's what happened over this last weekend. And remarkably, Democrats in tough Senate races like Mark Kelly and Raphael Warnock, they don't care. They voted for it because they know that they're still going to get over $100 million in Democrat cash, as the Democrats are now representing the white wealthy party. Republicans are getting outspent in almost every race across the country because the values of wokeism are most consistent with miserable wealthy white people that live in Malibu and Manhattan, and they want to spread their misery imperialistically upon the rest of us. The IRS adds $87 billion. To their budget. Look, we talk about current events a lot on this show, but there's other things that are in life that are bigger than current events, bigger things. We try to do some shows every so often on these things. But look, what am I talking about when I say that? How about good and evil, right and wrong, prayer and the Bible, or heaven and hell? So look, the great C.S. Lewis, who is one of the most amazing minds ever to exist, was a master at addressing these questions. And that is why Hillsdale College, the great college, the only college, in my opinion, wants you to learn more about him and his writings in their newest free online course, C.S. Lewis on Christianity. And it all starts with taking a short quiz to find out how much you already know about Lewis. He wrote more than the Narnia series, by the way. Look, Hillsdale College is amazing. They defend liberty. They pursue truth. They do a great job. So just write this down. This should be your go-to resource. Remember, I have taken 16 of their online courses, and I have promised Dr. Arne I'm eventually going to finish them all. Go to charlie4hillsdale.com to take this fun, interactive quiz, and then sign up for this free course. The answers may even surprise you, even if you think you know everything about C.S. Lewis. They surprised me, my goodness. The quiz, the course, and everything you learn at Hillsdale College are yours for free, as always. So take the C.S. Lewis quiz, charlie4hillsdale.com. That is charlie4hillsdale.com. Take as many online courses as you can. The Constitution course is amazing, but their C.S. Lewis course is extraordinary. And by the way, Hillsdale College, just phenomenal. charlie4hillsdale.com. At Turning Point USA and at Turning Point Action, when we find a student and we train them up and we educate them, we look at them as a potential activist, a worker, someone that can make meaningful change for the freedom movement. So at Turning Point USA, we increase our ranks by education, by hiring staff. We just had an amazing new hiring class. We have Turning Point USA High School, Turning Point USA College. That's how we increase our ranks. How do the Democrats increase their ranks? The Democrats increase their ranks by hiring IRS agents. We increase our movement by persuasion and energy, voluntary exchange of ideas, by getting into the grassroots, starting high school chapters, starting college chapters. The left, they pass a multi-hundred-billion-dollar spending bill to get more IRS agents on the payroll. Their ranks increase, their power increases, the more the IRS is able to get dominion over your life. Dare I use a biblical word? Fox's Mike Emanuel asked a phenomenal question out of Senator Ben Cardin. He asks a very good question. He said, can you understand how 87,000 new IRS agents would scare the heck out of millions of Americans? Senator Cardin responds to it, but before I play this tape, remember, Democrats are not afraid of new IRS agents because they look at themselves as exempt from the wrath of the regime. That's their team members. The IRS agent, they wear the same jersey. No, this will be used against dissidents. This is not the Inflation Reduction Act. This is the Dissident Imprisonment Act. This is the Let's Choke Off the Capital Flows to the MAGA Movement Act. The 87,000 new IRS agents will not be used to audit BLM or the ACLU or the Alphabet Mafia. The 87,000 new IRS agents will be used to go after mom-and-pop restaurants, donors to MAGA candidates, people like you. Play cut 9.
Can you understand how 87,000 new IRS agents would scare the heck out of millions of Americans?
Well, millions of Americans aren't going to be impacted by that other than getting better service from the IRS, having their telephone answered, getting the questions they need in order to comply with our tax laws. The auditing is going to be focused on those of high income, the large corporations, etc. So there's no reason to be fearful. And if you have paid your taxes and if you comply with our laws, you should want to make sure everyone else does that.
Oh, yeah. If you pay your taxes, you have nothing to worry about. I chuckle at a Soviet phrase. There's a phenomenal book called Darkness at Noon by Arthur Kessler. It's all about the baseless imprisonment of a political dissident. And there's a phrase in the book, which is the Soviet official says, if you've done nothing wrong, then you have nothing to worry about. Of course, it is a farce. It's a fallacy. It's a fabrication. It's a joke. Because, of course, you show me the man, I'll show you the crime. So tell me, Senator Cardin from Delaware, for the couple thousand email testimonials we received last week from people that were abused by the IRS, and please feel free to keep emailing them to me, by the way, freedom@charliekirk.com. When the IRS is wrong, who pays the penalty? The IRS does not reimburse somebody, say, oh, sorry, I wasted 5 years of your life. For example, if you get audited and you've done everything right, who pays for your representation against the IRS? Does the IRS reimburse you? Senator Cardin says, well, you have nothing to worry about if you've paid your taxes. That is rubbish, and that sounds like someone who's never owned a business, taken a deduction, or has a stance that might be a threat to the regime. No, the IRS Expansion Act is all about trying to quell dissidents. They know that there is a movement right now. This bill was passed for a reason. Yes, the climate change thing is there, but the real sneaky part is the 87,000 IRS agents that they want in every corner, every restaurant, every small business. They want to create a blitzkrieg of audits against people that they consider and deem to be a threat. That's what Mark Kelly just voted for. That's what Raphael Warnock just voted for. That's what Cortez Mastro just voted for. Their big bet is that they can get you to bend the knee if you get an audit notice from the IRS. But this needs to be a message to DC. That is not going to break our will. 87,000 IRS agents, bring it on. This movement's a lot stronger than government bureaucrats who take Arbor Day off. Look, there are food shortages happening all across the world right now. Are you prepared? I have the most amazing preparedness plan thanks to My Patriot Supply. And you have to go to preparewithkirk.com. Look, you are 9 meals away from anarchy. Do you see all these food plants blowing up? Do you have preparedness food? If not, you are not properly protecting your family. I do. I'm going to be fine. My family will be well fed. Go to preparewithkirk.com and you'll save $50 on a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. I don't trust the government. Do you? You think they're going to feed you when things fall apart? And you might say, oh, Charlie will never fall apart. Right. Well, I'll be fed. They're the nation's largest preparedness company, and their 4-week food kit contains enough meals for one person for nearly a month with 2,000 calories a day. Get one kit for each person in your family. There's no limit to how many you can order. Just make sure you have this food and you need it, which could be soon. Get it today at preparewithkirk.com. You'll save $50 and get free shipping as well. I'm sure you don't want to stand in government food lines, so make the proper precautions now. That is preparewithkirk.com, preparewithkirk.com. Go to preparewithkirk.com. I stand corrected. Senator Cardin is from Maryland, not Delaware. Apologize for that. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Joining us right now is Steve Bannon. Steve had a very big weekend at CPAC. Steve, welcome to the program. I want to play a piece of tape of you at CPAC, and we'll go from there. Let's play cut 10.
We don't need to audit the Fed. We need to end the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has usurped its power and the power of the American people and our elective representatives. And no, they do not have the consent of the governed. We will not comply. We will not submit. And it must be ended.
Steve, that sounds like Ron Paul. Floor is yours.
Exactly. I hope to take it, he was a great inspiration, but we hope to take it one step up. Ron Paul, who had his entire presidential campaign around about money and currency, is a great warrior and a brave man. I'm not a libertarian, but I understand that the administrative state and particularly the global apparatus is funded by these central banks, and it's outrageous. The evidence today is so much even more overwhelming than when Ron Paul laid it out for us from 2008 to right now, Charlie. The $23 trillion they've printed, the $9.5 trillion they put on the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve is just, increase the power and concentration of wealth in our nation. 0.5% of the American population own more assets and wealth than the bottom 90%. This is exactly what the framers fought a revolution to avoid. They wanted to get away from the landed aristocracy in Great Britain and the mercantile class in Great Britain. And we are back to this oligarchy. What we have is a combination of state capitalism and authoritarian government fueled by just free money that they print. And it's on the backs of our children and grandchildren. It's got to stop. We will end the Fed. We will deconstruct the Fed along with the administrative state. And Charlie, what we will do is break it up from being owned by 24 prime brokers. 24 major banks own the Fed. We'll break that up, put the ownership back into the American people. A little news I want to break in your show.
Please.
I'm also working on a set of analysis about what I call repatriation of the money the prime brokers made. Remember, the prime brokers didn't have to do any work here. The Fed just printed the money. They passed it through their system. They've made hundreds of billions of dollars of profits off this, of just being a middleman with no work.
Jeez.
Okay? That needs to be repatriated back to the American people. And I hate to use the reparations word, but we can actually go back and we can point specifically to where each dollar was created by the Federal Reserve and how it flowed through the system to specific hedge funds. I think you got to have, I think the next step in ending the Fed is also got to be the reparations to the American people. We have to, this is not income redistribution. This is asset reallocation, not income redistribution. That's what they always thought. This is asset reallocation. It was stolen from the American people by putting obligations on them. I mean, this is the greatest crime of the century. We're going to expose it all. And I got to tell you, end the Fed is going to be a new, it's going to be bigger than build a wall because it is the source. It's the source of all the problem. Look, Charlie, your generation, you've done such an extraordinary job from when I first met you.
Thank you.
And building Turning Point, literally out of an idea on college campuses. And it's so much bigger than that today.
Thank you.
But that generation, it breaks my heart to see that generation, that great Maureen went down with Jane Zirkel, and she just told me, Dad, the energy is incredible. The one you had in Florida, and I know you had this great one at Phoenix. And I look at that generation, and where we have Lao Baijing, the great Chinese common man who is in slave labor to the CCP and therefore to the world's economic system, you have bondage. The Judeo-Christian West youth is in nothing but bondage to these central banks. You're nothing more than a Russian serf. Think about that. We've fought for 12 or 13 generations in this country, all these patriots, everything we've accomplished. And our generation, the generation that goes to Turning Point, is in financial in debt slavery and financial bondage to central banks that are printing obligations that they're going to have to pay off and basically stripping their chance for wealth, just like a Russian serf, up to the elites. It will end. I'm the farthest thing from a communist. I'm a capitalist, but we're going to infuse real capitalism, entrepreneurial capitalism, not financial capitalism, entrepreneurial capitalism into this system. We're going to break the Federal Reserve. We're going to take away the ownership by the 24 prime brokers that made all the money. It's the greatest scam and con in the country. We're going to do it. It's going to be a major part of the MAGA move. And here's why. To deconstruct the administrative state, we have to take away the funding mechanism and to, quite frankly, get economic nationalism and to get our America first. The three lines of work, the central beating heart of how the apparatus funds is they have a central bank that can just print money on the backs of the deplorables and their children, and they get the
with no check and balance. What I do love about it, though, Steve, is that this is actually how we build a broad-based coalition. A lot of libertarians would just like be standing in applause with you. I'm not a libertarian, nor are you, but the deterioration of our currency and the money supply over the last couple decades has been intentional. And so let me ask you a question here, Steve.
Hold on, Charlie. Yes. Charlie, don't bury the lead. Don't bury the lead. This is where I think we get 50% of the Bernie bros. I think they join us because we say, hey, look, we disagree on a lot of stuff. We disagree on a lot of cultural stuff. We even disagree about a lot of fiscal stuff. But on the monetary stuff, here's what we're trying to do. From the founding of the nation until the beginning of the Federal Reserve, the essential politics of the country was the politics of money. But the Hamilton debates Jefferson, Andrew Jackson and the charter of the first and second Bank of the United States, really Abraham Lincoln and the economic nationalism of Abraham Lincoln and Henry Clay. Then later, the rise of William Jennings Bryan. You had every aspect of from the liberal to the right, all focused on the politics of money.
Yes.
This is one of the reasons that the Wall Street crowd wanted to stop it. It wasn't just the booms and busts. It was we need to take this away from being a hot political issue because the people want to control their currency. Remember, we've had bigger booms and busts since the Federal Reserve's been around. From 2008 to today has just been a catastrophe, all for the wealthy because of an apparatus they
own. Right.
We are bringing that. And by the way, we will bring in half of, just like we have half of the Hispanics or get half of the African-American men for our economic policies and our law and order policies and our family policies. We're going to take half of the Bernie bros, half of the libertarians, you know, all of MAGA, America First. That's going to be a combination. We're going to say, hey, look, let's all fight to get control of the money, control of the money printing apparatus,
exactly right,
of which we'll stop down.
Well, and with new technology, Bitcoin, I think people are finally liberated from prior kind of monetary frameworks. As William Jennings Bryan said, you will not crucify mankind upon a cross of gold. It was his rallying cry, the populist movement that deemed actually to be unsuccessful. So, Steve, let me ask you, though, some people 65 plus, they get a little nervous when you start talking like this. I could say it, for example, in our audience. They don't necessarily agree that there has been a mass generational theft of young people. I hear a lot, some people say, oh, young people just need to work harder. They need to do what we did in the 70s and 80s. The argument you're making, though, is the game is different. It's profoundly different for this generation. I agree. How do you persuade 65 plus voters of that message?
Well, the simple reason is that it's been stolen from them, too. Are they in the, or if you're a middle class person, you're in the bottom 90%. Remember, they've extracted wealth from you. You're part of this revolution. You're part of this revolution. They've devalued. Remember, the Federal Reserve just does a rolling devaluation on your money and on your assets. Okay. They've done a rolling devaluation. Your currency is worth what we offer is actually your freedom. We want the Pulse 65s to be at the forefront of this. I actually think, because I think they understand this boom and bust cycle and how you've had this concentration of wealth. I also think, Charlie, not just the 65s, I think a lot of people remember President Obama was supposed to be the most progressive president in history. A big part of this happened on his watch, right? A big part happened on his watch. We cannot have the Federal Reserve be as strong as it is in the lives of people 65 and older and people 25 and younger. It cannot be. And so I think the understanding of the 65 plus crowd will actually be, I think many of these will actually be at the forefront of this revolution.
Yeah, I mean, the necessary steps to become a middle-class American are so out of reach for the younger generation. Buying a home, getting married, having children. In fact, we have people here in our own orbit at Turning Point. They work super hard. They're getting poorer, Steve, because of the devaluation cycle, as you put. Despite working hard and saving money, year over year, they get poorer because of 25 to 30% inflation, Steve.
A 25 to 30% inflation, remember, and also heretofore zero interest rates.
That's
you had no ability to have any capital formation. They don't have the ability to buy the home. That's what World Economic Forum says. You're not going to own anything. You're going to be happy. That messaging, who's buying the underlying assets and real assets today throughout the country? BlackRock.
That's right. Larry Fink.
BlackRock.
Yeah.
Larry Fink. Steve Schwarzman. Steve Schwarzman just announced the other day, big story in CNBC. I put it out for everybody. Steve Schwarzman, now BlackRock is in there. Steve Schwartzman's in there. Blackstone. They're all buying the assets to then rent to your employees.
That's right.
Who will barely be able to make rent. But when you're that, you're just a debt slave. You've seen this over the last 2 weeks, an explosion of credit card debt. You're a debt slave. You're a hamster on a wheel. Okay. They give you a little bit of credit card, capacity, and then you borrow to make ends meet. You never have capital formation. You never get to own a house. You never get to really have equity into the system. You never really get to be able to buy stocks. That's got to stop. We have to have an ownership society. But most importantly, the way you do that is break the cartel. Right now, you have a cartel of 24 prime brokers, 24 major banks, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, right? Morgan Stanley.
Citibank, First Wells Fargo. Yeah.
All of them. They're the cartel. They control the money printing apparatus, and they can print with, and they have. It's not me. It's just evidence. $23 trillion since the collapse in 2008, a collapse they brought on.
That's right.
And not one person held accountable.
Not one sentencing, not one conviction.
Not one conviction. First off, not the commission that was set, the commission in the House that did it, referred criminal, I think, 200 criminal referrals to the Justice Department. Now, I think there was a real estate appraiser in Las Vegas and maybe in Miami, some real estate appraisers, super grandoons that got in there. This is out in the open. It's in your face, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse. NPR had the NPR had their lead story last week was, Charlie, believe it, the most unknown institution that has the most power, like it's some secret about the Fed. Ron Paul.
God bless
the heroic,
him. 20
God
seconds.
Bless him. He came up and put it out there. We have to execute, Charlie.
No, Ron Paul will go down as the guy who made the argument when it was unpopular. He opened the Overton window. Now we carry it forward. But he saw what we are now living through, which is the intentional, multi-generational, century-long deterioration of purchasing power for regular, everyday Americans and the kind of calcification of Wall Street's dominance over our life. Steve, we got an email, freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, I wanted you to tell Steve I'm pregnant and due in November, and we're naming our child Bannon. Great show, guys. Ashley. So there you go. So, Steve, I want to ask you a question about the politics of the moment. MAGA is ascendant. We talked a little bit about this on our live stream. There is this kind of subterranean movement that the media is totally miscategorizing, I think, intentionally, that seems to be taking over the Republican Party. My fear, though, is establishment moderates are actually cheering, in fact, even worse, helping Democrats in states like Arizona or even Georgia to try to see. I told you so. This is what happens when you nominate good, strong MAGA candidates. Your thoughts?
I think your analysis the other night, I listened to, I don't know when somebody got it to me, but about Arizona is absolutely the heart of the beast. I mean, I think we won in a coalition in 16, right? We do have to unite, and people have to understand, particularly the establishment. We've got the momentum, and we're going to bring in more voters than they could ever bring in. Okay. Those that want to be with us, and they're going to have to make some big concessions. We're much more populist. We're much more economically nationalist than they are. And we're very anti, we're very anti these multinational military arrangements, right?
Yes.
We've got to get control that we can't spend $1 trillion on national defense. But I think when they look at the alternative, and this is why I see the shattering, and I see the shattering of the Democratic Party into this progressive green left-wing movement with the Squad in this kind of centrist neoliberal neocon, and then the ascendant MAGA. But we shouldn't make any compromises at all. We're ascendant right now. And I got to tell you, Charlie, when I look at things like Turning Point, when I look at CPAC, when I look out there, and the candidates were having more African-Americans, more Hispanics, right? More Asian-Americans. We're going to start getting some of the Bernie bros. We're ascendant because the message is a broader message than just tax cuts and this bizarro deregulation. So it's we're ascendant, and we just got to kind of drive up. But you're absolutely correct. In 2008, their message is you've nominated all these unelectable people from Ohio to Arizona to Joe Kent up in Washington. They're going to point at every one of our candidates. We got to force the issue here. These candidates can all win, and they can win big. Remember, Carrie Lake's going to end up winning by 5 or 6 points or maybe more.
Blake Masters by 12 or 13. Yeah.
Blake Masters by 12 points plus, right? These are winners. And Arizona, that's why I say the railhead of this whole experiment is Arizona.
That's right.
And that's why Arizona in November, your analysis the other day of the issues with the establishment out there. Remember, the Republican establishment a little bit throughout the country, but particularly Arizona, is like the Bourbons before the French Revolution. They've learned nothing and they've forgotten nothing. So we have to have a couple of peacemakers sit down and say, hey, look, we're not changing our policies, but get on this because this program is a winning program.
Lead follower, get out of the way, as Patton would say. When I talk to establishment Republicans every so often, their eyes glaze over when we talk about these sorts of topics. Either they don't want to understand it or they're so afraid of it. How do we navigate that? Or we just win, baby, as Ray Davis would say from the Oakland Raiders, and say, look, you could get the cheap seats if you want, but this train isn't stopping. Your thoughts?
100%. That's it. You got to show me.
Al Davis.
Al Davis just got to put our heads down and just do it. We got to be like Fresno State, Charlie, like you are. We'll play anywhere, anytime, any opponent. Let's bring it, baby. Let's just go. But we have to look the energy at Turning Point, the energy at CPAC, the energy of the cadres in the Vanguard is as high as I've ever seen it. Higher than 2010, higher than really the 16 Trump campaign, higher than 2010, the Tea Party. It's time now. Our moment is, this is our moment. We have to meet it. And I just say, everybody, for the next 90 days, put everything else aside, maniacally focus on winning. You know, as Napoleon said to his marshals, when you set out to take Vienna, take Vienna.
That's exactly right. Steve Bannon, everybody. Steve, thanks for being generous with your time. And I got to thank you. You do an amazing job for our program, building an unbelievable audience. So thank you for that. And We're going to have you at our next event in Phoenix. It's going to be awesome. Thanks, Steve.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Boy, I'm just geeking out at the end the Fed topic. One of my favorite topics is talking about monetary policy and the unelected, largely unknown for the American people, private-public partnership that manipulates our money and deteriorates your purchasing power. Ron Paul, God bless him, literally wrote a book called End the Fed. I think he wrote it back in 05 or 06 or 07. He was way ahead of this time. With digital technology, this is more in our grasp than I think most people realize. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.